Thank you, Brother Ross, and good evening. We do thank the choir and the special selections. It really helps with the message. Thank everyone for coming. Perhaps some here tonight, not even feeling well, but still made an effort to come. We thank you. We appreciate your presence. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 25. It's a well-known story, familiar to everyone here tonight. Matthew 25. We're going to break in at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And these next verses are solemn. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh.'" I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. In the story we see what we just read, we see at least 5 facts in connection with the second coming of Christ. First, we have the certainty of his coming. And then we have the uncertainty of not knowing the time he will come. And then we see the necessity of preparedness. And then we see the blessedness of the prepared. And then we see the wretchedness of the unprepared. First, the certainty of his coming. You know, we can't be certain about many things today in this world. Our health, today we seem to be well, and tomorrow we're gone. We can't be too certain about our wealth. Today you have it, tomorrow it may be gone. But one thing we could be certain about tonight, that Jesus Christ is coming back again. My question to you tonight, are you ready? Are you ready? John 14:3, the Lord says, "If I go, I will come again." And the promise brings hope to troubled hearts. It brought hope to those disciples there. The Lord was talking to them. He had told them that he was going away, and their hearts were troubled. And the emphasis of his coming was not on the mansions. No. That he was going to prepare, but the prospect of seeing him face to face. Christian, what a joy it's going to be when we look at him the first time. I said this morning, looking at 1 Thessalonians 4:16, what a sound to hear when we hear his voice the first time. What a sight to see when we see him, and faith will give way to sight, and we'll actually look at his face. What a song will be to sing that day. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But what a comfort to experience forever to be with the Lord. I ask you tonight, friends, if you're without Christ, will you be with him? He says, if I go, I will come again. Let me tell you, as sure as he went away, he's coming back. Just a few weeks ago, I asked a young man a simple question. And he took me up short, as we would say. And he said this. Yes, they said the Lord was coming a couple years ago. But he hasn't come yet. Friend, let me tell you one thing. He's one day sooner in his return, one day sooner tonight than he was yesterday. He's coming. He's never lied and never will lie. He cannot lie. He's coming back again. Where I am, he says, where I'm going shortly, where I'm going to be eternally, that's where I'll take you or save. A prepared place for prepared people. But I ask tonight, are you prepared? Are you prepared for that place? The Lord Jesus Christ prepared it by going to the cross. And there giving his life. Shed every drop of blood for you. That you could be prepared. Oh, I pray you won't leave this building tonight. Until you know that you will be. That you are prepared and are ready for his coming. Says we shall all be caught up. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, one thing is sure. That we'll all be changed in that day. Why? Because these bodies that is perishable must be made imperishable. Secondly, the uncertainty of knowing the time he would come. Says of that day and that hour knoweth no man. However, we are given comparison to the days of Noah. Says they, in the days of Noah, they were married and given in marriage. I think what that verse is saying, they were carrying on the normal course of life. Not eating God's judgment. Friends, that's what we see today, don't we? Everybody doing their own thing. Says saying they knew not until the flood came and took them away. The people of Noah's day knew not the severity of God's judgment. They knew not the suddenness of God's judgment and destruction. So today, they were unprepared for the judgment. How about you tonight? If Christ was to return. Or if death was to leave your body this moment right in that seat. Are you prepared? Are you mistaking tonight the uncertainty of the time he will come? Of the certainty that it won't be soon? Listen, friends. Christ spoke in serious terms, he says it will be weeping. It'll be gnashing of teeth. Listen, let me tell you, it will be a surprising day. It will be a separating day. I think you'll turn over in the bed that night and you'll notice your wife is gone. You'll turn over maybe and you'll notice the husband is gone. Maybe you'll turn over and notice your brother's gone. Maybe you'll get up and look and go out in the kitchen to see if they're there, but they're not there. A separating day. And friend, I believe that then you'll realize something might be happened. And living in Spanish Wells, I believe that people will run to Brother Frank's house and knock and say, Frank, are you there? But Frank will be gone. Frank is serious. And Brother Allison Charles is across from Frank. And I believe you'll say, well, maybe Frank's gone out. And I believe you'll run to Brother House. I believe things like that will happen. And then you'll run to Brother Barron. And over to Brother Lincoln. Perhaps you'll come by me and say, I heard him preach Sunday night. Wonder if he's gone. It's going to be a separating day. Friends, are you ready? Are you ready? But the necessity of being prepared, it says, you know not the day. You don't know the hour, so therefore you should be ready. Friend, tonight, God doesn't guarantee you 1 minute. He doesn't guarantee that you'll walk back out that door tonight. You could be in eternity. Where will it be? Friends, you gotta answer that. I can't answer that. And then the blessedness of the prepared. I like that in verse 10. It says, they that were ready went in. Will you go? If he comes tonight, will you go in with us? Or will you be left behind? Oh, I pray God you'll be ready and go in with us. Look at the wretchedness of the unprepared. Matthew 24:51 says, they were cut asunder, appointed a portion with the hypocrites. The severity of the doom. Cut as a branch and thrown into the fire. And look at the damnation. With the hypocrites, the people you don't want to come out to church to see and listen to. Friend, you're going to spend forever in hell with them if you don't trust Christ. And then it says they'll be weeping. I can't stand to be with someone who's crying and broke down. It breaks my heart. Friends, you're going to endure that forever. If you go out of this life without Christ, and not only weeping, God's wrath forever to be upon you. And I think the cutting words throughout eternity will be, son, remember. You'll remember that you sit in this gospel chapel and heard God's message. You'll remember the very words that I'm saying tonight. And they'll haunt you throughout eternity. You'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, listen, you'll be cast out. I want to look at the 10 virgins briefly. You know, they represent professing Christians. And I want to look at their similarity to the real Christian tonight. You know what? They were all called virgins. Just like today, they all call themselves Christians. You ask someone, are you saved? They remember in Abaco just maybe a year and a half ago. I asked an elderly gentleman. I was concerned about him. He had come out to the meeting 2 nights and he just lost his son. And I asked him, I said, sir, have you been saved? He says, I think I ought to be. I was christened when I was a baby. Oh, I said, sir, that will never get you to heaven. He said, well, I've attended church all my life. I said, sir, do you think if that could have got you to heaven, God would have given his only son? And he didn't answer me. As far as I know, that man's not a Christian tonight. It breaks my heart to know that Green Turtle Kia said the gospel preached like Spanish rocks. And someone like that could be so fooled by Satan. Their similarity, they call themselves, they were all called virgins. But you know, something else, they all looked alike. Everyone that looked alike, you didn't know the difference. So today, some people live a moral life and you'll think they were born again. Some people live a clean, sincere life, church-going, and yet are not saved. Again, just a few weeks ago, we were down in Eleuthera with Brother Keith Kaiser. I spoke to a gentleman who has been a friend of ours for a few years now. Told me he's been preaching for 40-some years. And I don't know why the Spirit of God asked me to ask him that day, with him telling me he was a Christian, I thought he was a Christian, and I still can't judge him to this point. But I asked him as I was leaving, I said, "My friend, what makes you think God will let you into his heaven?" And he didn't answer me. I waited for a couple minutes. Well, maybe not a couple of minutes, a couple of moments. I said, "Look, you didn't answer me." He says, "I was thinking about it." This man has been preaching for 40-some years. I said, "You don't have to think about it, my friend." He says, "Well, I guess he'll let me in because I've served him all my life." I said, "My friend, there's nothing could get you into heaven, only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son." I left him that way because we had to get back. But I've been burdened about that man, and I want to go back to see McCain to make sure that he's on the way, to make sure that he's not just a professing Christian. How about you tonight? You thinking of moral? Brother Grover spoke about it here on Thursday night. The Ethiopian eunuch went down to worship, but yet wasn't saved. Friends, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's only what I just said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. They were called virgins, all of them. They looked alike. And you know what? They all carried a lamp. They all had a testimony. How about you tonight? They all had a profession. And you know, many are like that in the world tonight. Many hijack planes and receive what happened in 9/11 in the name of God and killed hundreds of people. Thousands, actually. Doing it in the name of God, but rejecting his Son. They got a profession, they got a testimony, but it's not real. And you know what else? They were all on the same errand to meet the bridegroom. And many today you talk to, just like that gentleman I talked to up in Luther, many teach Sunday school, many preach, many do charity work, but tonight they're lost and on the way to hell. How about you tonight? How about you tonight? We looked at the similarity. We want to look at the dissimilarity. The difference. You'll say, "Well, tell me, Freddie, I want to know what's the difference?" Five were wise and five were foolish. Friends, tonight, I talk to you from my heart. I think you know me enough now. I don't come to put you down or to preach at you as if I'm upset with you. I preach to you out of love. I don't want you to go to that awful place. Five were wise, five were foolish. Two classes in here tonight. Saved and lost. Which class are you in? Forgiven or unforgiven? Which class are you in? Heaven bound or hell bound? Where do you find yourself tonight? Friends, let me say tonight, if you're lost, you could be saved. Right where you're seated. Don't wait till I finish the message. If you're not forgiven, you could be forgiven. And if you're on your way to hell, you could be heaven bound right where you're sitting by simply saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I receive you as my Savior." That's not hard. That's simple. Brother Lincoln prayed in the meeting tonight saying, "I'll sit in the limits out in the back that even a child could understand." The gospel's not complicated. It's simple. But it's a matter of you being willing to receive it. You see, the difference was inward. The vessel, the oil, that was the difference. Five had the oil. Five didn't have the oil. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. I ask you tonight, with all the love of my heart, do you have the oil? If not, friend, you're on your way to hell. And that's where you'll spend eternity. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. You see, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. But he does not dwell everywhere. You might say, Freddie, how could I get this oil? How could I obtain this oil? I want it tonight by the new birth. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom also ye trusted. After that ye heard the truth of the gospel. Friend, you have heard it over and over. But have you trusted it? Have you believed it? If you have, it says, then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then you have the oil. The moment you trust in the Holy Spirit indwells you. In whom you also trusted. Faith is the connecting link between man and Christ. That's it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after that we're sealed. You know, a seal is a sign of a finished work, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's finished. It's done. You know, you put a seal on a document. After the signatures are on it and everything is completed, you put the government seal. It's a finished, complete work. Let me tell you tonight, the work has been completed. And the moment you trust Christ, God gives you that Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit to indwell you, and you're sealed. Seal is also a sign of ownership. Says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. A seal is also a sign of security unto the day of redemption. Romans 8:9 says this, and listen. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, listen, he is none of his. Do you have him? If not tonight, you're lost. You know, at salvation, we either have all the Spirit, or we have none of him. There may be many times, he gets more of us, but never a time when we get more of him. We get all of him the moment we trust Christ. Verse 5 talks about the slumbering guest. Says, they all are like slept. And we see the cause of Christian sleep today is the lack of study of God's word. The lack of prayer, the lack of witnessing. And we see the effect of the sleep of a Christian. It's the loss of communion with God and with his people. Loss of joy. Loss of usefulness. But God's command to such as this. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. A word to the Christian. Are you sleeping tonight, Christian, and people all around you are dying and going to hell? He says, awake. He says, it's now high time to awake out of sleep. Because our salvation is nearer than we think. Christian, the time is running out for us to witness. Unsaved, the day of grace is closing. Closing fast. Are you asleep in your sin tonight? Has Satan got you sort of lulled down into sleep? It's high time to awaken tonight. Oh, I trust that you'll be ready. Then we get the midnight cry in verse 6. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Midnight. That's the hour of darkness, isn't it? Friends, as we look around the world tonight, as we look in this community here, and we were sharing with one another there in the office tonight, even right here in Spanishville, it's the horror of darkness. Sin is rampant everywhere with the young people, the middle-aged, and even the older folk. We're living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. He said people shall be lovers of their own self. Everyone will do right what's in their own eyes. Says they'll be covetous people, not content with what they got. Disobedient to parents, don't we see that? Unthankful. Seldom you hear a young people or young person say thank you. And unholy, irreverent. Listen, friend, we're living in the day of darkness. The last times is upon us. But you know, another time we read about darkness. And the Lord Jesus Christ is on that cross. And he's there for 3 hours at midday. God shuts the heavens and darkens the whole world. And there God lashes out upon his son for my sin and for your sin. And there the Lord Jesus Christ out as that load of sin is so heavy upon him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Friend, that you might not be forsaken, that I might not be forsaken because of my dirty sin and your dirty sin. God had to forsake his son. And he was willing to be forsaken. But then another darkness is spoken about in scripture. And the Lord Jesus says, those that refuse him will be cast into outer darkness. Friend, there'll be a time, I think, when you could feel it. You put me in darkness now, I sort of go panic, but I can't see anything or do anything. Then you'll go through that throughout eternity. An hour of darkness. The cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The prepared virgins, they arose. They trimmed their lamps. They were ready. They went in. That was salvation. They not only went in, but I like, but it says that. They went in with him. How about you tonight? Have his fellowship. Will you go in with him? And then the marriage. It says, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Says, and then the door was shut. And that speaks of derision. Nothing shall enter that place as that defileth. We're shut in from anything that could come in to defile that place where we're going, Christian. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be there. Is your name written there? What a place to spend eternity. No sin, no pain, no death. But that's for those who were ready. The door was shut and they were in. But oh, how about the foolish virgins? The unprepared virgins? How about you tonight? Scripture says, prepare to meet thy God. You see, a judgment day's coming. Are you prepared for it? You cannot escape it. That's the thing. And then it says about these foolish virgins, the door was shut. The door was shut to keep the saints in. But now the door's shut to keep those who don't know him, who haven't prepared to meet the bridegroom. Revelation 3:7 says, he openeth, and no man shut it. Let me tell you, he's opened the day for opportunity to be saved tonight. He's got that door open tonight for you to be saved. But he also closes that same door. What if he closes it tonight? And that's your last chance to be saved. What would happen? The shut door. Would you be like those foolish virgins as we bring the message to a close? Luke 13:25 says, once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, there will be no second chance. Shut door of the Nile. Forever closed. And then, Christ disowns them. I never knew you. Friend, I believe you crumble to your knees. I don't know you. And if that ain't enough, he then discards them. He says, take them away. Depart from me. I don't know you. There's not that awful cry. Open unto us. Lord, Lord, open. Be too late. He's opened the door tonight. But will you enter? You know, there was a cry in hell, too, from the rich man. Says, send Lazarus, just one drop of water, Father Abraham. That's a small thing to get. Just one drop. But he can't get it. And he could see rivers of water. I think that will be enough hell. You're thirsting. Your tongue is dry. And you can see the water and you can't get it. Rivers of water flowing from the throne of God. That will be enough hell for you. But that's not all. Cool my tongue. The tongue that cursed God, the same tongue now can taste. But nothing to satisfy. Send Lazarus. Francis, no request granted in hell. No request. Sad answer. I know you not. Friends, scripture says God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How about it tonight? I close with a short story. There was a certain nobleman who kept a fool or a jester, to whom one day he gave his staff and said, keep it until you find a greater fool. Not many years after, the nobleman got very sick. The jester, the fool, went in to see his lord. The lord said to him, I must shortly leave you now. The fool says, and master, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to a place where I'll never return. And master, have you prepared for that place? No. Well, master, when will you return? Within a month? No. Master, will you return within a year? Says, no. Well, master, when will you return? Says, never. Says, never. Says, no, never. Says, well, then take your staff. I've never found so great a fool. Friend of the love of my heart tonight, are you like that nobleman? Going out of this life into another world and never to return. And you haven't prepared for it? Oh, be wise tonight. This might be your last chance. May God help you to make that decision for him tonight. Let's pray. Friends, in the quietness of this meeting, I believe the Spirit of God has been moving in some hearts here tonight. And I cannot create one anxious thought. I know that it's only the Spirit of God can do that. It's God's Word, God's Spirit. Friend, if God's been speaking to you tonight, if the Spirit's been speaking to you tonight, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward tonight. I don't feel like doing that tonight. I just don't have the Spirit of God not leading that way. But right where you're seated right now, why not take a minute and simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you went to that cross and took my sin. I believe you died, rose again. You now live to save me. I want to receive you tonight as my Savior. I want you to forgive me. Friends, I tell you upon the authority of God's word, he'll save you. Be wise. Be kind to your soul tonight. Don't leave. You're going to get out and it's going to be, Satan's going to snatch you away to see. Listen, Frank, Brother Frank Sear, Brother Allison, Brother Barron, Brother Ross, and others are here. I'm here. We'll sit with you all night if it's needed. Don't leave the building tonight. He could return tonight or you could be snapped out into eternity, your life gone. Be wise. Trust him tonight. Father, again, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus, the one who made salvation possible, the one who made it possible that one day we could spend eternity with him. We thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross and made that possible and took our sin. But Father, we believe it's someone in this meeting tonight who had never accepted this free gift of salvation. And it could be possible that they could be out in eternity tomorrow. Be forever lost. Oh, God, in your mercy tonight, reach some heart. Don't let them go to hell. Save them before it's too late, we pray. We ask you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one verse. Think you could bear with me of 240. 240. I couldn't get this verse, this hymn out of my mind before I come to the service tonight. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder? On a wild and stormy sea. Oh, to be without a Savior. With no hope. No refuge not. Can it be your blessed Savior? One without thee. Dearest tonight, could that be possible that some will take a gamble tonight? Oh, I trust you. I'm trusting tonight. The first verse and the chorus and the meeting will be over.